For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On this episode of The Heat Check, alert, alert, holy shit, guys. Giannis, non-contact injury. Calf, Achilles, who knows, getting tested. Whole league, whole networks in sports are shook. We're going to give you the very latest update on that earth-shaking news, as well as some other updates from around the league in what was an absolute crazy fucking night. I think the Phoenix Suns scored 7 points in the first quarter, maybe nine. But no more than 10. So much to get into, Anthony. Let's drop that motherfucking beat. This should be Rihanna. We're recovering from, well, not really recovering. We're thriving from the NCAA championship today because I made so much goddamn money. So we have a bit of a truncated show. I will get into the pageantry of the national championship and my thoughts on who might be NBA players off the Final Four rosters at some point soon. But for tonight, we have some wild-ass news from around the league. We start with huge alert, breaking news out of Milwaukee, where Giannis Antetokounmpo went down with a non-contact injury and did not return. Which are three words, non-contact injury, that will make your heart stop if you're a fan or a GM or Giannis' teammate. I am telling you, I wanted to be absolutely sick watching what happened to Giannis live on air on my national radio show. Here's what happened. Giannis inbounded the ball in the third quarter of a game against Boston where Milwaukee was just absolutely dominating. I don't even think Celtics wanted that game, honestly. He took about three steps before just falling like a tree, going down to the ground, grabbing his leg. Holy shit, heart attack city, population, everyone. He immediately calls for help. He was helped off the floor by his teammates. He limped back to the locker room, and a quiet hush fell over Fiserv Forum. Whole lot of Bucks fans felt like that might be watching their season swirl around the toilet, and they already have been a little worried because they have Doc Rivers. Look, there are none, no contact, no good non-contact injuries. But the silver lining, well, a sliver of a silver lining, was that he seemed to be grabbing his calf and not his knee or his Achilles, which would have been devastating. After the game, they asked Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, by the way, is always saying way too much, right? He's always just a little too, quote-unquote, candid. They asked him, hey, how concerned are you? And he said, extremely concerned. Like, the concern level's very high. That's not good. We don't want to hear all that. We want to hear, we're waiting to see the tests, and we'll get back to you. The prognosis, early prognosis, is that he suffered a left soleus strain, which is a muscle in the calf, and he's now going to undergo a bunch of tests tomorrow, including an MRI. If you want to say that this is the best case scenario, I won't stop you, but probably the best case scenario for the injury is said to be 2 to 3 weeks, which it's now April 9th. That puts us, I don't know, the Bucks could be facing a first round series against a team like the Sixers without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Things are now going from bad to worse in Milwaukee. They asked him. He said it was high, but he said he's Giannis. I think everyone probably feels the same way as I do right now, Buck. Doc Rivers said, we're just going to hope for the best. I'm hoping for the best for Giannis. Dame is hoping for the best for Giannis. All NBA fans hoping for the best for Giannis, because the playoffs without him, not going to be the same. All right, moving on. A couple of fascinating things happened last night. Lost in the news about Giannis was a remarkable thing that happened in the Celtics-Bucks game. The two teams played an entire game, won by the Bucks, 104-91. And there were exactly 2 free throws shot all game, both by Giannis. In other words, the Boston Celtics played an entire game in which they shot 93 times and never got to the free throw line once. The Bucks shot the ball 81 times and went to the free throw line one time, where Giannis went 1 for 2. By the way, are AI refs starting to take over the league? My column. Boston became the first team in NBA history to attempt 0 free throws in a game. This is nuts, bro. And par for the course for the NBA season that we've had that has been absolutely bizarre, where there have been weird, obscure records being broken. Who knows why? And who knows for how long? But I tell you what, strange, strange things happening in the 2024 season in the NBA. All right, moving on. Out in Phoenix. I mentioned this a little bit in the intro. Things are weird. Things are not going swimmingly. They blew a game against the Pelicans on Sunday in a game that I was in attendance. And then in the first half of the game Tuesday night against the Clippers, they missed about a million layups. They went insanely cold. The score, they went down 53-16 with 8 minutes left in the second quarter and were trailing 66-33 at half. How bad was the cold streak? The Suns shot 13 for 46 in the first half. Kevin Durant shot 3 for 13. And Booker and Beal went 1 for 12 combined. Sheesh! I tell you what, if you're a Suns team that's just hanging on by their fingernails at the 6th seed with the Pelicans, who just beat you, hot on your tails, you guys have the exact same record as of Tuesday, April 9th, you might just be playing the Kings in the play-in game, which you do not, absolutely do not want. Do you know how hard it is to shoot 1 for 12, 3 for 13, and 13 for 46 as a team? You've got 3 Hall of Fame-level players that went 4 for 25. This is a team brimming with all-stars, and it was like saran wrap was over the rim. Just when I thought the Suns had turned the corner, I was really ready to do a whole segment on how good the Suns were being. And as soon as I said, hey, let's talk about that, they do this. I have no idea what's going to happen. The Suns, like I said, are desperately clinging to that 6th spot, but they tomorrow, today, will be in 7th. Out in Minnesota, the Wolves showed how badly they want that number one seed in the West, because they had this atrocious start against the Wizards, and they could have let go of the rope. They overcame an 18-point deficit. They pulled away, and they actually almost covered the 18.5-point spread that they had before the game. Ant Edwards, 51-7-6 tonight. Woo! With Ant fully healthy? Karl-Anthony Towns now cleared for a return this week? If you're a Minnesota fan, you gotta be excited. You gotta feel like this is a dangerous team come playoff time. More on the fight for the number one seed in the West in the next episode. We now turn to an interview with my friend of show, Bill Ryder. Bill hosts many things, but the Ryder Than You radio show on Infinity Sports Network from 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time, as well as hosts the new Beyond the Arc podcast by CBS Sports. He's joined me on my other show, BetMGM Tonight, that airs 7 to 11 Eastern in PM in most major markets, and also live on Twitch and YouTube. I was joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Horvath and Nick Ashew. Bill gets into what's popping around the league and also breaks a little news in terms of what's going to happen with Donovan Mitchell. Let's get into it.
Bill Ryder jumps on with the CBS Sports Beyond the Arc podcast, host of Ryder Than You, 10 to noon on what's now called CBS Sports Radio. They're changing the name. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Infinity
Sports Network. So that's going to be, that was a shocker when I saw that. The Timberwolves right now, we mentioned, Bill, down 22-7 to the Wizards. Things can change. It's the NBA. It's the regular season. But there is news that Karl-Anthony Towns could be back very, very soon for this team. What do you think in terms of, like, once he's back, is there going to be, if it's the end of the regular season for like a couple of games, minutes restriction? Are they going to kind of limit him once we get to the playoffs? And how much better does this make this team once you get Karl-Anthony Towns back?
What up, guys? Yeah, guys. Yeah, I think that is, as I understand it, the plan, like you've seen to a lesser degree than Joel Embiid, although I wish I'd done this more, get him back, ramp him up, get him some minutes, and hope that he's able to do it the full slate when we get to the playoffs. Look, I'm a Timberwolves skeptic when we get to the postseason for a variety of reasons, but there is no doubt a lot of people are not, and those believers are right in saying that Cat coming back is a huge deal. He's obviously an absolute beast. We've seen Ant Edwards be a stud without him, but that kind of firepower, that kind of talent, if you're going to make a deep run in a really interesting West, obviously Carl Anthony Towns being back, a significant boost to that goal.
Yeah, the thing that the Timberwolves struggle with is just their offense. Sometimes they're hot, 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 and sometimes the decision-making down the stretch leads to really, really tough buckets. A team that they may have to play in the first round and maybe the best opportunity for this team to at least have a competitive chance against the Kings. Kings right now are a play-in team. Like, how do you think the Kings match up with the Timberwolves? And do you think there's a better matchup for a team that's trying to get into the playoffs? Because right now, without Malik Monk, without Kevin Huerter, I'm not sure they can win a seven-game series over anyone.
I'm with you. I mean, I thought the Kings were really interesting, and before the injuries, were on pace to have a similar record to last year. Just the West is a lot more difficult, but you're right. This is not a very good Sacramento team, and that is the exact matchup you want. Now, it's not the matchup I want, because I'm doing a podcast with a guy named John Gonzalez, and we made a $1,000 bet. It's a $1,000 dinner, but I'm running that sucker up when I win. A month or two ago, he's got the Timberwolves in a first-round series, and I've got either Phoenix, the Warriors, or the Lakers, if any of those teams play Minnesota. And I feel great about every one of those matchups. I would not feel great if I'm Minnesota. So I do think Sacramento is the absolute team you want, because they are a damaged team. We know they're already bad defensively. I think Monk in particular, who's going to get paid in the offseason, was so critical and maybe not appreciated by people who didn't watch a lot of Kings games to how that offense was able to sing at times and overcome those defensive deficiencies. You're right. That's a Minnesota team who is not consistent offensively. They are mediocre, medium of the pack in terms of offensive rating this year. That doesn't usually bode well for a deep playoff run. But if you can get anybody who gets Sacramento, that should be a win in the first round because of the injuries to that team and really just the defensive liability that is the Kings' general approach.
Bill, it's early right now. Magic are down 20-17, but if they win tonight, they could actually, I believe, clinch the division. If they would win tonight, they'd win the Southeast, which we gave out last year at like 150-1.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were probably a year away. This year, a much better
8-1.
Team.
8-1.
What do you think their ceiling is this year? Can they win a playoff series? And then how far off are they if they can't this year? Is it a year? Is it a year or two? Because I've been really surprised, and I really like watching this team, obviously.
Is it a really riveting insider, NBA insider answer and radio answer to say, I don't know? I mean, the Magic are perplexing. So the answer to the second part first, because I think it's the easier thing to answer. I think they're probably, they're a year away. They strike me as Oklahoma City light this year, or maybe ahead of last year's Thunder team, because they are interesting. They are young. I subscribe to the belief, as do most of the executives and scouts I talk to, that a lack of postseason experience and a lack of postseason success is usually going to hold you back. But to answer your question about their ceiling, the East is, outside of Boston, really damaged. I think Randall is a significant loss for a deep run for the Knicks, even though I still like them. Cleveland, that 18-2 run earlier in the season, notwithstanding, has been downright mediocre. I never know what the Pacers are going to be. I don't think Milwaukee is going to win multiple series, or at least I think that's a definite possible outcome. So could Orlando beat the Pacers in a series? And if I think the Bucks will lose an opening round series to a team like the Sixers or Heat, but could Orlando then beat a team like Milwaukee? Like, yeah, I think there's this – I don't really buy it, but there's a ceiling that's a conference finals because of how I think the East is not as strong as it should be because of injuries and other factors.
Yeah.
And Orlando they're playing really good basketball. I think the experience makes me pause on that, but someone's got to make the conference finals, as I understand it, against Boston. So why not Orlando?
You know, it's funny you mentioned the East here with the Sixers now obviously getting Joel Embiid back, and if Tyrese Maxey's healthy, they're both healthy for the playoffs. Obviously, that team is certainly better than a six seed. They were 26-9 with Embiid in the lineup before he got hurt in Philadelphia. There are at least rumors floating around. We talked about this earlier on the show that maybe Milwaukee's like, we don't really want the two seed right now because he got Philadelphia on the other side there. How often do you think, or do you know, teams pay attention to that, think about that, maybe take that in consideration this late in the year?
They 100% do. And it's harder, right, to finagle this year because the margins are so thin, especially in the Western Conference. But I talked to a source today who expressed a desire close to the Warriors, who expressed a desire to have more clarity on who's going to come out on top in the Western Conference, because there's a sense that the Warriors would love to operate in a way that would not end up with Denver, right? If they feel like Denver is not going to be a one seed, then they're sort of okay. And they're not, the Warriors aren't going to win all, what is it, three or four games left and make that run. But there was just a sense of like, we're good where we are. Who cares if we have home court advantage? We'd rather have the Kings anyway. Let's just stay where we are. Let's not worry about it. I do think teams pay attention to it in a pretty serious way. And if I'm, look, I don't think that's what happened with Milwaukee when they lost for the first time in 30 years, three consecutive games as double-digit favorites. I mean, that run against those lottery teams, their first three of their four consecutive losses were brutal. But now that they've fallen in a way that only a Doc Rivers team could over the last week or so, I do think there are definitely people out there who do not want to play the Sixers and do not want to play, to a lesser degree, the Heat. And that 3-6 matchup looks a lot more pleasant than it does the 2-7 if one of those two teams I mentioned are the 7 against Milwaukee or whoever it is.
Yeah, no doubt. The Warriors firmly in the play-in picture, and they've had a lot of momentum recently. They've looked a lot better. Klay found his role. Draymond Green has been anchoring the defense. And so I'm hearing all of this chatter that there's going to be significant changes with the Warriors, but the roster next season, but also that the core is going to remain the same, and also the young guys like Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody are probably staying. So what's your read on that? Because that sounds like the same damn team as it is right now.
Yeah, and I think the change that they actually need is for Draymond Green not to do silly shenanigans and get himself suspended. I geeked out today on some of the NBA Basketball Reference and NBA stats page. And since Draymond Green got reinserted into the starting lineup back in, January 27th, whatever it was, in that double overtime loss to the Lakers, they have the fifth best record in the NBA. They are top 10 in offensive, not a surprise, but defensive rating as well, which they were not when he was out. They are, I think it's 11-13 when he does not play, and really, really good when he does play. So they've dug themselves a hole. That hole is difficult. I don't know how much people realize that the parity the NBA shot for in the CBA 7-8 years ago has come to pass, and the margins between 2 and 7 or 8 just aren't as vast as they used to be, which I think actually offers some value betting for longer shots than maybe you would have 7 years ago. All which is to say, the Warriors, when Draymond plays, have a championship resume. They really do, despite where they are and all the drama. I wouldn't make big changes if I was that organization, because the numbers tell you when Draymond plays, and now that especially Kuminga's kind of figuring it out and looks good next to Wiggins, because they look better, as a scout told me, when they can play with Draymond, right? And then you throw in, obviously, the two guys that start, Steph and what's his name, and Klay off the bench. Like, that's a really good basketball team. I think it's a better team than people give it credit for. And I think that is a team that is good enough to be competitive in a crowded West even next year.
What about the Knicks? Because I think that a lot of people are ready to just bury them with the Julius Randle news.
Yeah.
But with OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson, along with Isaiah Hartenstein on the floor, in the limited minutes that they've been together, I want to say their plus-minus is plus ridiculous. How far do you think the Knicks can go, and what do you make of people who are already saying, like, this team is just done?
Yeah, I'm with you. That group is top five in box score plus minus when that lineup is together. And I think, I should know this, I think Anunoby, before he came back from injury, I think the Knicks were 15-2. Yeah, that's not true now, but when he was out for a stretch. Look, Randall's really significant because you need that offense. And I do think that Tibbs is a guy that doesn't manage robust rosters well. Like, he'd rather just, his rotation, his dream rotation is five guys, 48 minutes for like 10 straight years until their bodies fall apart. And so he's not really a guy that manages depth, but it is a deep Knicks team. There is some depth there that they haven't had in a long time. I actually like the Knicks. The entire East to me is a minefield, and I don't feel great about an individual team outside of Boston. Even there, I have some reservations, even though they're clearly the favorite. I like the Knicks. I think they're interesting. They are really balanced, especially when OG plays. Interestingly, before he got traded, they were great offensively and inconsistent defensively. They figured that out. They have role players who have stepped in and filled some of those holes. It depends on matchups, but if they play the Cavs, who they've owned over the last 2 years, including last year's postseason, and they win that series and they get some momentum, I do think the Knicks could be really interesting.
Talking to Bill Ryder, BetMGM tonight. If I were to give you a free bet right now and said you can't bet on the Denver Nuggets to win the West, it has to be any other team in the Western Conference, who would that team be? that you would bet to overtake the Denver Nuggets and win the West?
Oh, my God, I love that question. So it's not the Thunder. It's not the Timberwolves. I think they're too young. It's not the Clippers. I would probably have to drink myself into oblivion to bet on the Mavs because of Kyrie Irving. But if you look at the numbers, since Gafford got put into the starting lineup 16 games ago, they're 14-2. They have the best defense. It's a 16-game stretch, but they have the best defensive rating over that stretch. I might go there, but as crazy as it sounds, I know I can't do this. The winner of Lakers-Warriors, right, or if one of those teams got in, I might bet the Warriors today. The problem is there's too many coin flips to get to where I think that makes sense, and I can't have them play Denver for that bet to make sense. But I think I think the Lakers and the Warriors can come out of the play-in, and if they are not playing the Denver Nuggets on that side of the bracket, I think those teams are capable too. So my answer is Mavericks or maybe Warriors.
You mentioned the Cavs really quickly, and we got about a minute and a half. Cavs went west, okay. Bill, and I think they only beat the Utah Jazz. They were just getting smacked around in the West. A lot of rumors about Donovan Mitchell. What do you think happens there?
So I'm told two things. The expectation, and this is not from, I'm not connected with Donovan Mitchell's camp, but the expectation for every GM I've talked to, and it's many, is that he's going to force his way out in the summer, and that the Knicks and the Lakers already believe there's a world where they can go and try to get him. Now, the Lakers, as we all know, are able to have three first-round picks they can trade in the summer because of the way those things work, and they think maybe they can go and be aggressive to get Donovan Mitchell. Is that enough? I don't know. I think the ability to move on for Mitchell and for Cleveland not to hold him hostage increases if they don't have a great performance in the postseason. They've got to make a conference finals or a finals, as I understand it, guys, in order for him to want to stay. So I think you're right. I think Donovan Mitchell will be on the move. The Lakers, I'm told, are interested in Trae Young. They're interested in Donovan Mitchell. There will be a market for Mitchell, I think, much more than Trae Young. And I do think you'll see him moved in the offseason.
Wow.
It's crazy to think. We've been quiet for a little while on superstars wanting out somewhere, and now here we go again. It always felt like Donovan Mitchell was a rental in Cleveland, and if he has an opportunity, I think it's definitely going to be
Cleveland.
Lakers and Knicks. Yeah, they've been linked to him for a long, long time. Bill Ryder, CBS Sports, Ryder Than You on CBS Sports Radio. Great to have you on again, man.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
That's all the time that we have for this episode of Heat Check. Come back tomorrow for an all-new episode. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes, which drop unexpectedly, like The Undertaker, bong, at WrestleMania. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we head down the stretch. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends, all of them, even Cody Rhodes, who finally finished his story and finished it the best way possible at WrestleMania. Tell him, yo, Cody, there's a reason that everyone went apeshit when you beat Roman Reigns, so when you get a chance for a breather, throw on the Heat Check with Trista Crick. It'll fill you in on what's happening in the association. And do not forget to follow us at this Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. And eventually, I promise, YouTube. We'll see you next time.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.